Good day. My name is Leslie Borey. Welcome to this meeting of this candidate. I wasn't invited to the all candidates meeting, which isn't a new thing. It's pretty much the custom anymore not to invite all the candidates. It's a shame. So if you want to get to know me and you get to see one of the people you get to vote for, you can watch this broadcast and hopefully get something from this. Hopefully I'll be technically competent and get this thing out to you nicely and show you the platform so that you can actually read it as well and not just have me read it for you. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get another monitor up too, just to see if we can't keep an eye on things. They don't make any mistakes. Pardon me, everyone. Okay. Let's see if we got this here. And try to monitor our progress here as we go. Oh, here we go. Good. Oh, excellent. Wonderful.
Here we go. Good. Oh, excellent. Wonderful.
Okay, good. Now, when I share a screen with you, I'll be able to see if it's actually broadcasting what I want. I made an error before when I started to do this, and I tried to share a screen and it didn't do it. It shared it for a moment. So let's see if we can do that. We'll just let's see, how do we do this? Share a screen, all right. Okay. Let's see if that works. Okay, a bit of a delay. Let's hopefully it'll share the screen. Okay. Ah, it went black. Now, why did it do that? Well, that didn't go too well. Let's try that again. I'm not sure how to go about this. It says share. That's why I started a little bit early today. Come on. Hopefully that'll share it. We'll see. And not yet. All right. We'll just have to keep trying that, see if we can get it going. Entire screen, let's try that. If not, I've got a. Oh, sure. There we go. Okay, that's enough of that. Looks like we're going to be reading you the platform this evening. My apologies. It's a little bit intermittent there. So we've got a couple of seconds. I'll grab the platform, and I might have to put my glasses on to do this. As time goes on, I'll get a handle on the technical aspects of broadcasting. Right now, I'm mostly a guest on other people's programs. I'm not much of a host that's competent enough to broadcast. I can speak fairly well, but I can't, share images with you on the screen, unfortunately. My apologies for that. I'd still like to try it a couple more times, but I'm not sure how to go about this. But we're definitely live on YouTube. So I don't have access to that feature. Manage. I'm not sure. There's two people watching right now. Good day to you two folks out there. It's good that you've tuned in. Welcome to the program. My name is Leslie Borey. I'm the candidate with no political affiliation in this by-election in University of Rosedale for 2026. There's a Citizen Slave 1984 chimes in with an O slash. Some Thank you very much for that. Right back at you, my friend. Yes. And it's good to be here, taking part in this election. There wasn't much that I was going to show you anyhow, except for the actual words of the platform, so you could read along, which might make it a bit more interesting for you. If you go to the laborfirst.ca website and open another screen, you can listen to me speak when it comes time to go through the platform, and you can examine the platform yourself and look at the website. It's quite a nice platform, or pardon me, it's a very good platform, but it's quite a nice website. I'm very happy with it, and I hope that it'll help us to attract the attention of a lot of good Canadian people who want to see a real change in our country. And I'm definitely willing to do that. I spent a bit of time in jail trying to protect Canadians from the vaccine murderers and their accomplices, and I got in big trouble for that. They still want to put me in for 4 more years after I've already served a few years in jail. I served a couple of years without bail. Imagine that, a guy like me. Yeah, they couldn't release me. They wouldn't let me prepare a defense. It was unbelievable. So that's what it is. Anyway, so if you guys like to ask some questions in the chat as we go, I'd be more than happy to answer your questions. It would make the show much more interesting. I'm sure that if people are new to this platform that we're presenting, it'll be very interesting to them. It may be something unlike anything that they've ever seen before. And we're going to go against the grain to fix our economy and our nation. Basically, we're going to go against a lot of old myths and wives tales and bring some wisdom to the program here, where people don't normally associate good financial policies with the people that they elect. Unfortunately, it seems that no matter what government we elect, they seem to make us poorer and poorer all the time. And so us at the Labour First Party, we're going to try to change these things. Let me just get this camera fixed up a little bit for us and see if we can't make things a little bit better. Sit back a bit further. There we go. Yes. So I was going over things earlier, but I couldn't solve that technical issue, unfortunately. So I'll have to keep trying. I don't know why it's doing it, what it's doing, or why I don't know how to do it. But basically, if you share a screen, it should share the screen. And I made a video before where I shared the screen, and it appeared for a second doing the same thing I just did now. I don't know why the image didn't stick though, but I had to edit the video later to fill in the black space that, as you saw, appears on the screen. It's unfortunate, but we'll see what we can do with that to make things more interesting for you. But the platform itself is very interesting. There's quite a few candidates in this election. I'm not sure who's going to be speaking tonight at the live event. But I'm a bit of a competitor, and I don't like to be left out, especially when it comes to trying to help your people, live a little bit better and get out of this communism that we're in. Most people think that the communists are just, workers gone mad, or just a crazy worker system of politics. But really, what it is, it's a banker system. Most people don't see it that way. They think that communism has nothing to do with finance except for taking all your personal property, which it certainly does. But one of the ways that they acquire your property is through the banking system, where they always create a system where there's more debt than money. And there you go. That's how they take your private property. They turn that thin air that they printed money out of, and they turn that into your private property because they charge interest, right? But they never print the interest, but they always want the principal. So with every loan that comes out, money's printed out of thin air. And they ask back for more than they printed. So all someone can do is take someone else's principal. And as you see, it's like musical chairs of money. Eventually, some people are left without a chair, which is, they're left without enough principal to pay back their, enough money to pay back their principal, correct? And also, interest causes inflation. There's one simple example to tell you. Basically, if you buy a house for cash, it's cheaper than if you buy a house with a burden of interest on it. And that's the simplest example there is. Another example is this. If you get a loan from the bank and you leave the bank and you come back, you try to give them the check back, say, you know what, I don't want that money, we're done. Well, just because of that little bit of a passing time, basically your check isn't worth its own face value any longer, won't cover its own costs. And that's a form of inflation as well. You have to pay back more than the number on the check, more than the amount on the check, to be clear of debt, right? And that's it. That's a good example. And now you can't devalue some dollars without devaluing all of them. And that's why you can't buy a loaf of bread today at the same price that you could have 20 years ago. Interest causes all inflation on money that's printed up out of thin air. And other things like taxation cause inflation as well. And because the government has banks print money for them, and obviously they charge interest, there's never enough money to pay it back. Our tax base is used to pay back the loans that can't be paid back in their entirety. So over time, they divert more and more of our tax dollars to the bankers' pockets to cover this unpayable debt that never ends, right? And that's why we're in the situation we're in. And they're talking about some kind of a great reset these days. I prefer a Canadian reset where we just reset the debt to zero and back our currency with labor, which is, in fact, the most valuable and most precious commodity on earth. It's worth more than gold. Gold can't cure you. Gold can't teach you anything. You know, gold can't do much. I was a machinist at one time, and gold can't machine parts. You know, human labor machines gold, though. And if some people ask you, you know, or if they argue the point with you about what's more valuable, gold or, you know, human labor, you can just kind of ask them, how did the gold get here? And the answer is human labor. It's a simple thing, you know. So human labor is the most valuable commodity on earth. And it's the best thing to back your currency with. And that's what we're going to do. A country did that back in the 30s, but if you talk about them, people say you're glorifying bad people and, you know, and things like that, right? So people need to get a little bit more mature about World War II history and about, you know, monetary history. And we'll get into free speech issues right now that have to do with these World War II issues. Yeah, I don't know if you believe it or not, but we're not even allowed to question World War II history on some topics. You know, it's amazing. And they use that against me in court. I questioned World War II history and they vilified me for it. You know, what a bad guy I am. You know, it's amazing. So we're definitely going to make things a lot better for Canadians once they elect us to be the representation in the future. Right now, our party is very, very small. We've only got a few members. We're not even registered yet. We do have a couple of candidates lined up to go when it comes time, which is a really good thing. And there are a couple of high quality people. One person, well, actually, they're both content creators on the internet, but one person's a human rights activist, and he's been doing that since 1965, and he's quite a good fellow. You'll see him on a program that I run, that I'm going to be handed soon, pardon me. Basically, I've been shown the ropes a little bit by my friend Dave Gaheri on ftjmedia.com, and it'll be soon when I take over that program. It's called More of Less, and it's at Friday mornings at 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. It's great fun to work with Dave Gaheri and a fellow named Giuseppe Fafanculo, who might be broadcasting this on FTJ Media if everything goes well. He's a really nice fellow, too, and he has me on his show three times a week from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He's quite a nice fellow. And these guys are very knowledgeable people. Dave says we're the smartest guys in the room, and, you know, time will tell, but so far that's the case, it seems. During the COVID vaccine psychological warfare terrorist operation with the, you know, biological and chemical element added to it. So basically that vaccine was a big poisonous thing that people took. We were trying to tell people not to take that. And this is before I knew these fellas. We're working along the same lines without even knowing each other, which is a nice thing. But now these fellas got a hold of me while I was in jail, and we used to communicate, and they invited me onto their network, and I'm quite happy to work with these fellas. There are a couple of American guys. We've got guys from the United Kingdom. I have a friend in Germany who's in jail right now as well for, you know, being a critic of World War II history, or, basically a doubter. You know, he doesn't believe all the things that we've been told either, so he got in big trouble there for that. It's amazing what you can get in trouble for anymore. I've never robbed anyone. You know, I just stood up for the Canadian people and tried to, you know, stop the vaccine murders, which are continuing, it seems, to these days, because they haven't stopped handing them out. They're just still pushing them, and the police haven't been arrested. Either have the politicians or their influencers. They still go. They're still free to earn money and to harm us further. So this party will fix the economy. It'll also bring corruption to justice. We've got way too much corruption in Canada. All the parties, in my opinion, are basically compromised. And this new party is the way to go. I don't think there's ever going to be an armed uprising in Canada. And just as well, because a political solution should take us there all the way without any real violence involved. Myself, I'm probably the one that's in the most danger of any Canadians because of the pattern that's been established by these bankers shooting John F. Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, and others. Even Andrew Jackson, back around 1834, I think he was targeted for assassination. But fortunately for him, the powder was wet in those antique or those old muskets that they used back in the day, and he ended up using old hickory, which was a staff he used to carry around when he beat the assailant quite nicely until his bodyguards pulled him off the assailant. And he got from that, the rumor goes, he gave the assailant or the bodyguards heck for pulling him off the assailant. So he's my kind of president, that guy. Yeah, so anyhow, we're going to try and do the same thing here in Canada in the future. We're going to try and bring in an interest-free banking system, and your representatives will be printing the money, not the international bankers, all right? And there won't be any, obviously, no interest charge in that money, and we'll always have enough money to pay our debts, and we won't be in the problems that we're in right now. This is unbelievable. We're definitely in a huge crisis. Two-thirds of Canadians go, without being able to live for more than 2 weeks without a paycheck. And I heard that 60% of Canadians right now miss a meal a day. It's incredible. Working people should be able to eat decently. We're not promoting gluttony, but I mean, if you're a working man and if that's your vice, or a working lady, I mean, you should be able to eat what you want pretty much. Anything grown in Canada, anyhow, you'd think. I don't think we have anything that's of such a high value that a working man should be able to pay for it, right, in a real economy. And we're definitely proponents of working wage pensions for senior citizens, and also working wages for working people, right? If you work, you shouldn't just earn an existence, you should earn a life. And that's what we're pushing for with this platform that we've come up with. All right, so we're past the hour now, so maybe we'll get into this broadcast a bit now, or into the platform portion of the broadcast. So I can put my glasses on. Unfortunately, I'm getting a little bit older. My eyesight is starting to slide a bit, so here we go. Put the old glasses on, and we'll see what we've got here. All right, so the first thing we're going to do that we talked about already is to create the most valuable anti-inflation interest-free currency in the world, backed by the most precious commodity, which is human labor, to replace taxation to fund the civil service and lending. And like I said, this has been done before. It's not a new thing. Back in the 30s, during the Great Depression, there was a country who was devastated after World War I, and they had a lot of bad conditions put on them. And even during the economic crisis of the 30s, this one nation, it was even worse off than the rest of the world was. And what they did to become the best economy in the world in a short amount of time was that they backed their currency with labor, and they hired whoever needed a job, providing they had jobs for them. They had to create work. So it wasn't an instantaneous thing. It took about 18 months. But they ended up employing about 6 million people, these folks, and they did a good job. And these people are highly intelligent, and they made quality parts and products. So, it can be done, and we're going to do this again. And I basically dreamt up this system myself after I learned about the banking system, and I thought about it for quite a long time. And I thought I was going to introduce a brand new economic system to the world. I'm glad I never made that announcement, because I would have found out later that I was wrong. I would have felt a little bit foolish, but there's nothing wrong with introducing something good to the world. I just, my claim to be the first one would have been false. Although we're going to do this Canadian style, and we're not going to have taxation like the other folks had. I believe they had some taxation, so we're not going to have any. We're going to simplify our economy, so you'll never have to file an income tax return ever again. You'll never have to pay property tax again. You'll never have to pay a land transfer tax, an inheritance tax, sales tax, whatever. You won't have to renew your licenses for the sake of providing income for the state, because we won't need it. We're going to run a near zero balance. We're just going to keep rolling back all the money that we get through lending that comes back to the representative bank, back into the economy to buy new things for the people. just to maintain things as well, transit systems, utilities as well. You definitely don't want to go without clean water. We're going to clean up the water supply as well. We'll have the money to basically, we're going to have to relay all the pipes in Canada, believe it or not, to get the fluoride out of those things. They've been contaminated because of the fluoride use that, you know, the governments have imposed on people, basically. I didn't want a chemical in my water, but they put it in there. They lied to us and said it was for our to help our teeth. Well, I've got a solution for bad teeth, and that's good dentistry. And single-payer dentistry funded by the state, backed by the labor of the dentist, is the best way to go, right? I'm sure dentists will be happy to know that they'll have more customers and that they'll get paid for doing their good work, right? And that's the thing. I shouldn't jump ahead too much. I should probably stick to the platform. Otherwise, we'll be all over the place. But I thought I'd just give you guys a heads up on what we plan to do in a nutshell, right? And so now we're going to reassess home prices for, And number two, number one was equal, was a basic human right, by the way. Interest-free money lending should be a basic human right. Because as I explained earlier, if you charge interest on money that's been printed out of thin air, not everyone has the money to pay their loans back, right? It just leaves people with more debt than money. And that's wrong. You know, if you're really worried about human rights and the quality of human life, you'll make sure that everyone has a fair chance to pay back their debts and not offset the playing field so that they can't pay them back. And you don't want the certainty of failure in your economy so that banks are guaranteed to turn thin air into your property, cash and prizes, and otherwise. In other words, it's a wrong-headed thing to do. So basically, we're going to make sure that our economy is solid and it's more predictable. That way, without interest rates on your home purchases, you'll know what your house costs the day you buy your home. And that's the way things should be, all right? So number two is equal rights for whites. And you think, geez, when I was a child, it was, why would we need that? Well, as you see right now, if we take Tim Hortons as an example, what happened was that, or what's been happening is that people are being replaced by new people coming to Canada that aren't white. Some of these people are racist, and they'd rather hire their own people from their own countries and people that are their own color instead of hiring the native Canadians who were born here, the white people, right? Some of them. We're about 70% of the population, so it's Canada's not all white people, but why discriminate against the majority of the population? It doesn't seem right to me. And the news and the media, they seem to justify it, you know, like we need to be punished for some reason, right? And maybe that story from World War II history might have something to do with it. They called us colonizers. Well, right now, the Aboriginal people are being colonized by people from other places besides Europe. And a few Europeans are coming here, too. The Ukraine's been devastated with the war as well, and those folks are coming. So these are all new Canadians as well, but it doesn't add to our or doesn't help our unemployment problems whatsoever or our housing crisis, eh? And some of these people that come here, they raise the level of crime in our country too. And the kind of crime has changed a lot too over the years, where we've got a lot more violent crime, and it's just amazing. I did time with a lot of these fellas, and some of them were decent folks, but the economy drives people to do things as well, right? It's not all out greed all the time, but sometimes it's just a matter of survival. And if the economy's very weak, you're going to have a lot more crime. So we can fix the economy and deport some criminals. I think things would be a lot better off. We'll go into that later as well. But white people should definitely have equal rights in a country. I don't see why they don't. Why wouldn't you give rights to every single person? Why would you discriminate against their skin color? So we're not going to do that any longer. We're going to stop that kind of discrimination against whites and against other people too. Everyone will have the right to work if they're qualified to do the job. And we're not going to have any more diversity, equity, inclusion legislation. It's just silly. The best people should get the best jobs. And we definitely want to employ people. We don't want to have bombs. And we'll have the money to do so. There's no reason to disadvantage people at all. Number three. We're going to reassess house prices and existing mortgages when we Canadians control the bank's debts after nationalization and cap rents for most residences at $500 per month. There is housing out there, but unfortunately, it's unaffordable. I can't afford a house for $600,000. I can, maybe afford one for $100,000 over a period of time, and that's what we're going to do. we're going to roll these prices back by reassessing the prices of homes. You might ask, how can you do that? The banks own everything. Well, not for long. When you appoint us, or when you elect us to be your representatives, we're going to take control of the printing of the nation's currency. And when you control the nation's the printing of the nation's currency, you also control the debt in your nation. So all these artificially inflated prices can be artificially deflated as well, just as easily, despite what people on the news say. Okay, and we're going to get rid of the news too, and that comes later. These type of news reporters, they're not so honest, eh? And you'll get a feel for that as we go, I would think. We're going to use price controls to protect Canadian manufacturers. So back in 1988, the Conservatives brought in free trade. And what they did was they stopped charging tariffs, or putting price controls on goods coming into Canada that were competing with our goods. And that was the reason we had industry here, because our manufacturing was protected from what they called foreign dumping. And dumping was when a foreign country dumps cheap goods that compete with your goods. And basically, it entices your people to buy the foreign goods instead of the locally made goods in your nation. And that means that your jobs leave your country and they go to those nations. And then, as we found out, the people who made those parts that we could have made here come here and they buy up our real estate with these bad practices of migration that the government's imposed on us. And it wasn't by accident that they've done this. There's a clergy plan in place and the UN replacement pact. And basically, they've targeted Western civilization with destruction. But we can turn a negative into a positive as well, because with some of these new people that come, comes a new mindset. And some of these people aren't so squeamish, and they don't recoil when you say things. And I find them easier to talk to at times than some of the native population here, the whites, who have been dumbed down, we'll say. And then now they're so delicate that they're afraid to stick up for themselves, and someone calls them racist or anti-Semitic, they just cower like little babies. And that's the bad thing. I'd rather have strong people here. I'm trying to stop the white replacement, the white genocide, but the people that are helping to make this happen in some cases are white people themselves. And we can't have that in Canada. It's not right. So we're going to take the best of the best and get rid of the rest. So we're going to provide seniors with working wage pensions of $40,000 per year. Oh, and by the way, we're only going to put price controls on goods that we make here, or goods that we want to make. We're not going to put price controls on everything. Like I said, we don't need tariffs to make money. We just use tariffs to protect ourselves. And the fewer tariffs that we have to impose means we'll have lower prices for things that we don't make here. And we want to benefit the consumer as much as we can, right? So back to this again. We're going to provide seniors with working wage pensions, like I said, of $40,000 a year. That's $800 per week. Seniors need that money to get by, to live, and to live decently too. When you retire, you shouldn't be in dread of dying in poverty. You shouldn't live like that. You should be living like you're working still in a real country, in a Western nation. And we're going to make that happen for senior citizens. Senior citizens are going to be a conduit between newly created money that's backed by their years of labor, their years of service to our country. So it's completely justified to print that money for them. And that word printing money scares people. It's just, they're such babies. People know that the only thing that causes interest isn't the printing of money, it's the printing of the debt. So these senior citizens are going to benefit greatly in Canada, the ones that remain. If they vote Conservative, Liberal, NDP, or Green, they'll be deported after the next election, because we can't have people here that vote for those that want to kill us, okay, with vaccines, with poverty, and other ways. It's amazing, right? So the people that haven't learned to vote properly will be deported. And that's all there is to it. Hey, these people want to put us in jail for 2 years for questioning World War II history. There's no place in Canada for communists like these, let me tell you. All right, no way. We're going to have point number six, we're going to have American-style speech and gun rights. And we're going to have Swiss-style gun rights for members. They're the people that are qualified, that we trust. And what I mean by that is people are going to be allowed to own guns in American-style way. And once we sift through our population, get rid of some of the troublemakers, our culture won't have a problem having people walking around with firearms or keeping them in their homes. We're going to have decent people here. We're going to get rid of all the criminals, including the police and the government that have harmed us greatly. And basically, Swiss-style gun rights just means that if you've got military training and you're a trustworthy Canadian, you're going to have a little bit of a bigger arsenal or a more robust arsenal at your disposal to defend Canadians from communism in the future, right? Because we can't have this ever coming back. We can never have an interest-charging banking system back ever again to do us harm, to impose this economic terrorism on us. A communist himself, Mr. Lenin, said that once a nation adopts a communist bank, that nation's 90% communized. And that's no joke. You know, it might even be a higher percentage than that, right? So you can't possibly have a good economy if your bank is always taking more money than it puts into your economy. Basically, every bank loan is just a sponge, right? You pay back the principal, which is the sponge, but it always sucks up money with it, right? Just like a sponge sucks up water, takes it out of your economy. Yeah, you've been lied to quite a bit if you didn't know that ahead of time, all right? That's the thing. That's exactly how it works. When banks print money, they call it giving out deposits, and they just change the number on your account. And then you have to pay that money back plus more, and that the more doesn't exist unless you take it from someone else's principal, and then they don't have the money to pay their debts. All right, so now point number seven is we're going to deport 1 million people per year to help reduce homelessness, unemployment and crime until we get things down to a manageable level. Right now, things are insane. We've got people driving around Surrey, BC, shooting up people, right? So I'm sure the people getting shot at appreciate the people shooting at them being deported so they can't be harming them any longer, you know? And there's a homeless crisis right now, and they just keep bringing more and more people in. They don't really care about the native population here in Canada, unfortunately. I do. I certainly care. I'm one of them. And I care about all the citizens that come here. Like I said, when the smoke clears, we're going to have a beautiful country where we're going to promote good manners. We're not going to use legal means to enforce these silly speech laws. Human decency is a pretty common character trait for most people. And if most people are decent, then you don't need these things, all right? Most people are really good people, and I'm looking forward to working with them in the future. But we've got a few troublemakers. We also have some traitors, as I mentioned before. So just because someone was born here doesn't mean they won't be exiled from Canada if they support the Zionist communist parties. And we're not going to allow that to happen. All right, we're going to protect you people from the evil people that run the state of Israel, believe me. And they run America as well, and they run Canada, they run the whole world, okay, these bankers. And once we get their tentacles off of our nation, you'll notice that we'll live better. Throughout history, whenever this has occurred, you know, nations declare themselves or declare that time a golden age in those countries. I like the labor standards, so we'll call it the labor age. All right. An age of prosperity and peace. That's what we need. The bankers are the ones that are causing wars. Number eight, we'll use our new banking powers to fund the enhancement of the Canadian Armed Forces and the healthcare system backed by labor. And there you go. So soldiers are going to basically earn their money into existence, and so are the healthcare workers in our nation. We're not going to be left undefended in the future, and we're going to have some of the most technologically advanced weapons in the world to defend ourselves. We've got a huge landmass. We're a massive target for these weasels in this world that want to do people harm and that want to run the world for the Israeli world order, right? We can see how they're just tearing up the Middle East right now. The United States of America has even gone into South America, and Israel runs America right now, believe it or not, unfortunately. That's the case, right? So we can't have that. And they also run our country as well. You can tell who runs your country by what kind of speech rights you have. And right now, we have too many anti-Semitism laws, and one anti-Semitism law is one too many. We should be able to speak our minds. And, you know, if people want to be rude and say things, well, then if it's out of line, then the shame is on them. Or if the truth is on their side, then basically, they've done something to help their people, right? So either way, people should be able to speak their minds, right? So that's a bottom line there. I'll get my glasses back on. And we don't want to be in World War III as well. You know, that's terrible. And they predicted it was going to happen. It's more like they're they're making it happen. It doesn't have to happen. You see what Trump's doing. That's completely unnecessary. They're forcing the issue. Peace on earth is the best thing to have, not wars everywhere. It's insane. And I'm not really a pacifist, but I really avoid violence. And I've avoided it my whole life. There are times when you have to do things, but you know, honestly, I get mad when someone makes me violent because it's not usually from words. It's from, you know, actions. I can speak and respond to people. But when someone attacks you, you have to respond. I grew up in a tough neighborhood, and I certainly did not like to fight. I didn't like to escalate things. I'd even rather just say, yeah, you're right, and walk away. But there are times when you actually have to do things. And I really did not like being made to fight. And I really hated it. It made me angry. And that's just the way it goes. And number nine, Treasury-funded insurance backed by labor. And it's going to be no cost for all drivers, homeowners, and business owners. Insurance is, to me, in my opinion, has been a big scam. And I was watching some Senate hearings once, and they had some experts on there, and they said that the insurance industry, basically 80% of their debt is backed up by the government. So basically, there's no risk to these people. And if that's the case, then why doesn't the government handle all of the insurance it needs for the people instead of farming it out to private insurance companies to take more money from people than people really want to pay them for what they're getting? You know, so what we're going to do is we're going to have a national insurance program for every kind of insurance you can think of. Right. And labor is going to back up the paying of the premiums for people. And it's going to pay for the labor to run the insurance companies for the federal government in the future. Well, I'll call it the representation. The word government seems dirty to me, just like the word police seems very dirty to me. We're going to have to erase that word and replace it with a protection force or some other thing, because the word police is just absolutely disgusting after what we've seen during COVID and afterwards. And these guys are enforcing like speech laws to protect Epstein Island types, right? We don't want that here. That's just disgusting stuff to me. And they're trained by the Epstein Island types too, by the way, to do us harm. And the Epstein Island types, we won't get into it too much, but they don't want to do good. So all the non-members out in the world, believe me, they have the worst intentions for them as you know, child raping, child eating people might have, you know, who might have criticized them. I don't want to get a hate speech charge. All right. Amazing stuff, isn't it, in our country? In the future, you'll be able to speak your mind, believe me. Or my life, all right? If I lie, you know what to do, okay? That's how it works. I'm going to be an honest fellow. I've got nothing to be afraid of. The enemy might not like me. They might try to Kennedy me or Abraham Lincoln me, but, you know, I'm not in a hurry to go, but I'm doing what I can do for my beautiful Canadian people. And we're making some of the most beneficial but dangerous moves in politics right here in front of you. And I hope you vote for it. Put me in danger. Go ahead. I'll gladly do it if it means you live better. All right. That's what it's for. And eventually, hopefully I will, if I can squirt through the danger a little bit. All right. So now, number 10, we're going to have justice for victims of lockdowns, vaccines, and anti-speech laws. Well, that's going to mean that the people that impose these things on you, they're going to be hurting pretty bad in the future. And they're going to be paying reparations with every single thing they own. And that's all there is to it. And they'll never reoffend again. I promise you that. All right. These vaccines killed a lot of Canadians. They've injured a lot of people, and people are still dying from those things right now. Just think of the vaccine as, in some instances, if it causes heart problems, it's like a slow-moving bullet tumbling through your heart, tearing you up if you've taken the vaccines. Or you may suffer some other illness, or you may suffer nothing at all presently, but a lot of people have succumbed to these vaccines. When I was in jail, I was quite proud to have told the fellas. And like I said in my one speech accepting the George Orwell Free Speech Award, I was surprised the fellas trusted me because I wasn't your average criminal. I was from outside of normal circles. It wasn't like I got to jail and they, hey, I know you or something like that. Although some people did recognize me from my politics in the past and the fact that I had some informative lawn signs. Basically, what I did was I told them not to take the vaccines if they didn't want to get killed. And they believed me and they didn't take them. I was on a couple of ranges, and on both ranges, the fellows never took the vaccines. And I was quite proud of that. And the word got around the prison or the jail. And I think a lot of people refused the vaccines. And I talked to some guards after, and they told me that they had quit during the vaccine mandates and only came back after they were done. So good for them, and good for the inmates for, trusting me. They made a good choice. Well done, gentlemen. and ladies too for the guards, right? That's the thing. So anyway, we tried to get by for a couple of years, and I tried to be real informative, and these fellows did listen to me, and I was quite pleased with that. It was very nice of them to do so. Once people get to know me, they know that I know what I'm talking about, even if I stutter right there. My nickname in jail, and it's not a secret, we're not supposed to tell these things, but because of my position, I'm not really a regular criminal who's hiding his identity. These fellows were nice enough to give me the nickname of Professor, right? They're really nice and they're really respectful. I had a bit of an incident there one time with some white guy. I got jumped, but basically, hey, I'm fighting for my country. Too bad for me. I mean, things have risks, right? People took vaccines, they died. I'm still alive and I'm still here to avenge them, all right? I was pretty sore at the people that took the vaccines if they didn't listen to me, but I mean, it's their own choice. But I tell you what, that was a crime that was committed against these people. And the fact that they're deceived, as annoying as it was to me, it really wasn't their fault. You know, they were lied to by the news media. When they see things coming out of the television packaged in the way that it is, they tend to believe these things. They're very trusting people. And they were some of the first people to go down, right? So it's unfortunate for them. I mean, good, trusting people, can't imagine that other people try to do them harm. Well, I was fortunate to learn earlier on that this is the case, that some people have us in their crosshairs, all right, just because we're not members of their group. Unfortunately, it's the case. All right, so we're definitely going to have free speech laws. You'll be able to question World War II history, any aspect of it. You'll be able to present it, you know, to the world if you want in Canada. We're also going to have a public inquiry into World War II history. We're going to put all the cards on the table. We're going to present the legal version, which is legal today. And we're also going to present the version of history that's illegal today. All right. So the Canadian people are not going to be left in the dark, and they can make up their own minds as to what happened back in the day and why we went to war, whether it was justified or not. All right. And we're going to, point number 11, we're going to ban abortion as a form of birth control. Now, if a woman's been violated and, you know, things have to happen, unfortunately, that's what it'll be. But if a woman's ill, of course, she's going to, you know, she's going to have her options open to her. We're not going to make women die, you know, because of abortion laws. But we're not going to use it as a form of recreational birth control any longer. And I've got a comment from Jingle VM. Hey, now Les, I'm going to see if I can get this stream on FTJ too. Thank you very much for that. And I apologize for the technical issues. I was kind of hoping to make it a little bit fancier than it was. Even on FTJ, I can't share with my Mac computer for some reason. So, you know, I share my ideas. You know, I share my body basically by putting it on the line for Canadians, but I can't share a video, unfortunately. And thank you very much. And Stupid 7648 has given me some applause, I think, and thank you very much in the comment section for making comments. I've learned over time that these live chats are very interesting, and they add to the program. And thank you for participating. Now we'll get back to the platform. Thank you very much. Let's see. Number 12. We're going to ban bank bail-ins and give Canadians property rights to their bank savings. Right now, believe it or not, when you put your money in the bank, it's not your money anymore. It's owned by the bank. You know, it's a shame. It shouldn't be like that. Most people don't think it's like that. Most people don't know that money's printed out of thin air, although more and more people are learning now. I've been pleasantly surprised over the years. What used to be practically, I guess, forbidden knowledge or very, very rare knowledge is becoming more popular now, which is wonderful to see. Education is awesome, and it's a well-informed public is the first line of national defense, right? National defense starts with a well-informed public. Again, the vaccine murders, things like that, Canadians could have defended themselves just by saying no had they had the right information. Unfortunately, they listen to the wrong people, and then they end up dying or becoming sick or are waiting to die now. And hopefully not, though. Hopefully you've been given a placebo. I want to be wrong. A lot of these things that we talk about, I prefer to be mocked, ridiculed as being a fool for being wrong. Unfortunately, I've been right far too many times. I don't need to be validated all the time. I'd rather be wrong and see people live. My ego can withstand it, believe me. All right. I want my beautiful people to be healthy. Unfortunately, they don't listen so well all the time. And replace lockdowns and anti-speech enforcers with the Nationalist Protection Force. So that's exactly what we talked about before. Right now, we've got police who will do whatever they want to do. They'll kill your families, whatever it is. Roger Katanko on Ryerson Road near Port Dover, he was a gunsmith. The Toronto police drove something like 250 kilometers. I opened the gunsmith's door. Just as soon as they walked in, they shot him in the chest twice and once in the neck and killed him. And they had some kind of a mystery visitor there. Perhaps he was on the wire telling the police when to come in at the right moment when the gunsmith had a gun in his hand. He's at work. It'd be like walking in and shooting a machinist when he's got a piece of steel in his hand or a measuring instrument. I mean, it's stupid. It's beyond criminal. It's diabolical. It's unbelievable that they do this. And I don't think they released the shooter's name, the murderer's name. It had nothing to do with anything in the line of duty, as far as I'm concerned. A lot of people are upset about this, but of course, nothing happens because you don't have any recourse when you elect conservatives, liberals, greens, and what else is there? NDP, I think, and the Bloc, right? All these people work for the communist bankers. They all, let this banking system go on unchallenged. You can't have an economy with an interest in it. It's terrible, and they don't say anything about it. And they pretty much all backed up all the mandates during COVID, the biological terrorist, psychological warfare operation that killed so many people and tried to enslave the world. Unbelievable, right? So that's why there's a great need for a new party like the Labor First Party, and there's a great need for a leader like me who's honest. I mean, I'm not a superman, but I definitely know what we can do to fix our economy, and I'm an honest person, and I love my Canadian people, and I'm just going to try my best to make life better for everyone. All right, that's why I'm in this election, to get the word out. Hopefully, we'll get a few votes this time. It's hard for people that aren't part of a registered, established party to get anywhere, but people really need a change, and I'm hoping that some of this despair that we're living in will pay off into a political change, because the people seem to be more malleable. Even people that are traditionally voting for or traditional supporters of the other parties, I've noticed that they're quite willing to consider other things now, provided they're presented to them in a sensible way. And what I saw from the NDP leadership convention at the end of it all, when they're asking questions, if you know the video I'm talking about there, wow. That was off the rails. That was pretty far from sensible, if you ask me. And we're going to replace, let's see. So we'll have a Nationalist Protection Force to protect us from evildoers of all types, including governmental ones, right? And we're going to give them the mandate to step in almost like some kind of a samurai in Canada to protect the public, okay? And we're going to, number 14, we're going to nationalize the globalist mainstream media agents to prevent New World Order. Basically, I should have put Israeli World Order, disinformation and subversion of an honest representation elected in good faith. So if you elect me, the last thing you want to do is have people lie about me to fool you into not reelecting me. All right. And then you'll get back to what you had before, which you certainly, I don't think you want that. Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to replace the CBC with the National Broadcast Service, the NBS. And we're going to get rid of all the people that lied to you about COVID and about finance and about other things. And they won't reoffend again, I promise. They'll be silenced. And other people will take their place and give you good information to the best of their ability. And that's my word to you. I don't want to see anyone lied to, misled any longer in our country on any official platform. Free speech will be permitted and opinions will be allowed, of course. So you'll have to do your research and sift through the information. But any kind of a major media outlet will be under the wing of your federal representation after what happened during COVID. We can't let that happen again. All right, number 15, we're going to make gas 50 cents per liter to fuel our economic recovery and reduce inflation. And a lot of the things that I talked about are going to reduce inflation. Obviously, reducing the price of houses is going to reduce inflation. Making rent $500 a month maximum will be reducing inflation. And definitely the price of gas is just off the rails right now. And they lie to us about the price of gas all the time. Oh, we've got too much gas in the system. We have to raise the price. We have too little gas in the system. We have to raise the price. Oh, the Ukraine war started, which has nothing to do with our fuel. we have to raise the price, right? It's unbelievable. The dishonesty that we live with is insane. And you're not stupid. You know what's going on out there. You might know not know the particulars, but I do get a sense that a lot of the time you folks out there know when you're being lied to. And I tell you what, when we're going to make the gas 50 cents per liter, and we're going to leave it like that for the entire time I'm in office, that'll bring predictability to our economy. It'll also bring stability to our economy, and it'll lower inflation. It'll lower the cost of people going to work. It'll lower the cost of transporting goods, which will lower the cost of their goods because we'll make sure that the people get those savings. We won't let people suck up the profits. After all, we're not going to have taxation any longer. So there's no real excuse for people to be too greedy. They're going to make a lot of money in the future. And that's all there is to it. The cost of living will go down, and it will subsidize farmers a little bit if we have to, because people want good, healthy food. And we're going to ask farmers to stop growing food using chemicals the way that they do now, like harmful chemicals. And, you know, they need a little bit of fertilizer here and there. That's one thing. But we definitely don't want any more of that glyphosate on our fields, hurting our bodies and ruining our soil. So if farmers need a little bit of an edge, I mean, they're not going to have to pay tax anymore. They're going to have fewer transportation costs. Subsidies may not even be required, but if they are required, we'll provide them for a while until people's bank accounts get to a certain point and their standard of living gets so high where they can absorb the cost. And then we can step out of the economy and not have to condition that part of it and allow market forces to win the day. But until then, the Canadian people need to be protected from food insecurity. You need to eat, and you need to eat nutritious food, okay? No more monkey business, no more chemical crap. We want to see you healthy. We're not here to try to depopulate the world. That's the other guys. Those are the guys that you elected previously if you're that kind of a voter. And also, they're the ones that put the vaccines into you that were meant to depopulate the earth. All right, they're not, it's not a health plan when you want to depopulate the earth, all right? And if you notice their economic, their carbon models, Bill Gates joked, or he laughed because he threw up the equation on the wall or up onto the screen there during a PowerPoint presentation. And the equation was basically one side was zero and the other side was like humanity and carbon and whatever else. And basically, to get the zero on the right side after the equal sign, any variable on the left side would have to equal zero. And, world population would certainly equal zero, but then they're dead too, right? But he said that if we do medicine right, we do nutrition right, we can reduce the world's population by 10 or 15%. I think they're going for a higher number than that, folks, right? I'm not a population reducer, basically. If we're going to reduce the population in Canada, we're going to do it through, sending people out of the country. We're not going to kill them. Okay, that's not my, that's not on my list of things to do whatsoever. I'm not a murderer of people. I'm trying to save people's lives and make their lives a lot better to live. Unbelievable. All right. So point number 16: learning is labor, and the labor of post-secondary students will back the creation of money to pay them to learn skills that will benefit Canada. Students will graduate with money in the bank, which will lower inflation, right? So students, you're not going to pay tuition any longer. Your teachers are going to be paid. They're going to be backed by their labor, right? The currency that's going to be created will be the most valuable currency in the world. You're going to be taught by teachers that are getting paid with the most valuable money in the world, because their labor is the most valuable commodity in the world that we're going to back the currency, the creation of that currency with. And your learning will earn you your education. And you'll have money in the bank when you graduate, providing you don't spend it all while you're at school. And hopefully your living costs will be such that you'll be able to build your bank account while you're in school. Post-secondary, that is, not high school. All right, so college, university, post-secondary studies, the whole works. Is going to be funded not by the government, but by your labor. And we'll simply just create the money and back it with the most valuable commodity in the world, which is a student's labor. All right. So that should put a different face on things and make your life a lot better. And people that have existing debts, student debts, you'll be forgiven. All right. So we're not going to bleed you dry while the next generation of students comes out with money in the bank and you're hurting. No, no, everybody's going to benefit. We're going to make it as fair as possible and as decent as we can. We're not a bunch of weasels, all right? I'm not Benjamin Netanyahu, okay? I'm not Mr. Rothschild. My name's Leslie Borey, okay? There's a big difference there, huge. And we're also going to reassess credit card debt, point number 17, to provide relief for victims of compound interest, all right? Everyone's a victim of compound interest. So a lot of people have run up a credit card debt because the economy's been so terrible and you know, they've gotten themselves into trouble. And not all of these debts has been a result of frivolous spending. The cost of living is so high that people are just so desperate. They had to do what they had to do. In 4 years, if there's not an election beforehand, our party's ready to go, you're going to get debt relief. All right. We don't want you to suffer anymore. We're part of an economic counterterrorism plan here. Basically, this is what this is. Economic counterterrorism is what we need in Canada. Like Lenin said, these banks are basically communizing us. And they're imposing economic terrorism. That's another thing that Mr. Lenin talked about. He would know. He imposed economic terrorism on people, all right? And that's one of the ways that they did harm to people in Russia, besides killing 66 million Russian Christians and Ukrainians in the Holodomor, all right? And it's beyond me why they'd reelect these kind of people to run their countries. Mr. Putin and Mr. Zelensky are both of that ilk. And what's going on over there is just insane. It seems like they're ethnically cleansing the Ukraine for maybe some new types of people. You know, maybe from Israel, perhaps, to squirt over into their countries. It's hard to say. All right. But right now, I know that these wars, there's no need for these things at all to be going on. It's ridiculous. It's terrible stuff. All right. Now, point number 18, debt relief to people with tax arrears. Because we've lived in such a corrupt economy, and our economy has been set up in such a, I don't even know how to say it. It's a disgusting way, we'll say. Basically, they've stolen from you for your entire life. All right. There's no need for taxation. This economic system should have been implemented from the day that Canada became a country. Unfortunately, it wasn't because it's been run by the wrong people for the entire length of our history. All right. So if you've got yourself into some tax debt, I don't care how you incurred it, honestly or dishonestly, we're not going to worry about sifting through it. We're just going to give everybody tax relief or for their tax, pardon me, relief for their tax debts. You're not going to have to worry about paying these things anymore, okay? I just don't see the need in that. It wouldn't be right, okay? That's the thing. We don't want to perpetuate dishonesty in our country. We want to give you relief from the dishonesty that you've suffered under. And that's one way to do it. And these are all many ways to do it, actually. You'll notice that almost every point on this platform, if not every one, if not in a direct way, an indirect way, it will save you money and lower inflation. That's what we're here to do. All right. We're going to make number 19. We're going to make land $1,000 per acre all over Canada, all across Canada. We want to bring back the small farmer into Canada. We want to increase ma-and-pa businesses. Going up north, you see a lot of these old hotels, motels are all shut down. I want Canadians to travel more in their country, enjoy themselves, and I want them to stay in nice little ma-and-pa hotels. I want to see a tremendous amount of small business pop up in Canada to undo the harm that was done during the COVID, where they basically they shut down small business and they gave the market share of small business to big corporations, which is a wrong-headed thing to do. And we're going to try and undo the harm. Now, people killed themselves. We can't bring them back to life because they had too much despair and couldn't cope with it. Oh, it's another thing. We're going to get rid of the medical assistance and dying program as well. There's no way that we're going to be killing our own people at the rate that they're doing these things. It's gone beyond being humane and just being used to depopulate our country and to prey on the weak. All right. People need to suck it up a little bit. Fight a little bit. As you see, if people would have waited, if they're in financial trouble, if they could bear another 4 years worth of living in these conditions, not only will they survive, but they'll flourish in the future. So just keep your heads up, Canadians. Keep pushing. Keep helping us. Laborfirst.ca is the website. If you want to become a member, please send me the form. There's instructions on how to do this. And help us to register this party and be a candidate if you're capable. Please do. If you don't want to be a public representative, basically you might be the perfect person for the job at that point. This isn't an ego-driven job. You have to care for your people. If you care for your people, you'll try and represent them. And that's what this is all about, all right? Let's see what else we've got here for you guys. We've got number 20, free veterinary care for pets, working animals, and livestock. You know, there's more than just human beings in this world, and animals need to be treated humanely as well. And I don't like it when people can't afford to take care of their pets and the pets suffer. So in the future, we're going to take care of your pets and your working animals, if you've got horses or whatever else you use, or even dogs, guard dogs, anything, or even animals that we eat. We'll have the veterinary care taken care of for the people of our country, and the veterinarians will earn their pay into existence. You'll have the best veterinary care that the most valuable currency on earth can provide. And that's just the end of it there. So that's pretty simple stuff. And wow, it's 10 to 8 right now. And, we're pretty much done with the platform. Stupid 7648, he has a little crown there. I'm not sure what that means, but he gives me a 1488. It's nice of him. Well done, my friend. And we've got a lot of people here that talk the same language. We are trying to save the white race from extinction. Basically, we've been targeted for genocide and replacement, and we do appreciate help from all people that aren't white. Believe me, and you'll be held in high esteem if you help to vote to give whites equal rights. Believe me, people are going to have a hard time complaining about you if you're helping to save the white folks in Canada. Basically, you're helping to save 74% of the population here, and I tell you, as one of them, I'm deeply indebted to you if you help, and we're going to create a beautiful country here together. There's no doubt about this, you know. So thank you all for your contributions. And Stupid 7648 says, definitely outlaw chicken swinging. Absolutely. Absolutely, my friend. We're not going to be allowing any animal cruelty. That's for sure. We're decent people, and we treat animals humanely and decently, all right? And that's the right way to be. So I'm not sure what else to tell you about today. I can't share screens with you. I've gone through the entire platform. There's not much more I can do. Let's see. It says, kosher and halal slaughter as well. Yeah, they cut the throats of the animals, and the animals suffer as they die. That's not the right way to go. And that's a big deal. I like interest-free banking, so the Muslims have that under their belt. But the way that the animals are butchered, by Western standards, it's not the way we do things. Generally, we put a bolt into the animal's head, and that way they don't feel any pain. And then the animal's butchered after that. The vivisection is a bad thing. It's not good. The animals suffer like crazy, and so we're definitely going to outlaw that kind of thing. And if anybody wants to make any more comments, I'll be glad to answer your questions. I said we'd be here till 9 o'clock. So, I don't want to have a boring program of just speaking. I'm used to being on platforms where there's more than one person. So we have conversations and things like that. And also, we share videos, which I seem to not be able to do for some reason right now. And I thought maybe the switch was broken on the computer or something for a while the first time. But as you see, as I retried to send the images, it didn't work. So I'll have to work on that in the future. I'm not sure how to do that. Let me just try one more time, perhaps, to see if we can get something going for you. I don't know what else I'd show you anyway. There's not really anything to see. So let's see what we've got. And the other screen's down anyway. Select the tab to preview. I guess there's that. And it's showing it there. I don't know why it isn't sharing. It's a shame. Not amazing. Yep. Yeah, terrible. And the Mac's gone to sleep, so I can't see if you're seeing what I want you to. So that's unreal. So I guess I'm going to get down. And my apologies. Yep. Let's see what we got here. Do you think Bill, Citizen Slave 1984 says, she asks, do you think Bill C-9 will pass the Senate pact with liberal judges? If it didn't pass, I'd be so surprised. I'm just going to check this computer here to see if we can get it going again. Basically, I'm pretty certain that that thing's going to pass. Unfortunately, it's just another anti-communication law. They're going to outlaw symbols now. They haven't outlawed the Star of David. I mean, look what they're doing. But yet they outlawed the symbol of goodness, which is the swastika, which is, you know, a lot of people like that symbol. And not just white folks like Germans, but basically Hindus use that symbol. You know, Aboriginals use that symbol as well. But, you know, we like that symbol too. I mean, I don't look at it like it's a symbol of hate whatsoever. The Germans had a great number of different races and people with different backgrounds in their armed forces trusted to carry weapons. You know, if they're bigoted, they wouldn't allow that to happen. They'd be disarming people. And generally, the communists are the ones that disarm people, not the National Socialists back in the day. And General Patton even said that his former enemies, the Germans, basically were the most decent people in all of Europe. He said that they killed the wrong people. So people might want to look into that. And I didn't break any laws to tell you that because I didn't, you know, question this one incident or one subject of World War II history. Yeah, I definitely think Bill C-9 is going to pass, my friend. It's a shame. But at least they took out the one provision where they were going to allow just any old person to charge you with these hate speech laws. It doesn't matter much. It's kind of rubber stamped anyway. When the special interest groups want the attorney general to lay a charge, they're going to lay a charge. Don't you worry about that. And they won't even let you prepare a defense like in my case. They know that when they keep you in jail, it increases your chances of being convicted. And generally, people that are convicted after they've been in jail and not allowed out on bail, basically their sentences are harsher as well, right? So I was held without bail, and the conviction was easier for them to get, and they gave me a really long sentence. So that's just crazy stuff, right? And I didn't even get a chance to see my disclosure. My lawyer wouldn't show me, and he lied to me about bail hearings and things like that. He promised that he'd have a bail hearing. He never had one. After a 90-day period went by, I had a couple of bail reviews, but I was supposed to have more. And then there was something about an 11B hearing, which was basically supposed to set me free because I served more time than I should have got as a sentence. But of course, you know how the state works. They're just going to make it look like they did no wrong and time served. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, right. You know, it's just crazy stuff. So the Crown wants to put me in jail for four more years. These terrorist groups, B'nai B'rith, Center for Israel Jewish Affairs, Friends of Simon Wiesenthal Center, all these terrorists and some anti-Semitism thing, whatever, I don't know what the hell they're called. The police chiefs want to do that. You know, all these people, they, the police chiefs, they help to kill people with vaccines. And these other groups, basically Israel made the vaccines, we'll say, okay. And they're associates that killed us. So there you go. So these people want to see me go to jail for not killing people with vaccines the way that they did and not locking people down and, you know, walking all over the rights the way that they did. Of course, they say, oh, they had laws on paper to justify their actions, but I don't think those words on paper justify a single thing that they have done. You can't justify murder, right? Words on paper just won't do it. And when I become prime minister, these people won't reoffend again. I promise that. And the Canadian people will be safe from the tentacles of Israel. And then we'll no longer be choked, you know, by the tentacles of Israel. All right, we're going to take that foreign interference and remove it from our necks. All right, it's not just China, Pakistan, Russia, India that influence our policies in Canada. Israel plays a huge role, and as you see in America, everybody knows that Benjamin Netanyahu controls Donald Trump. Okay, he's the real president of America, and the same thing holds true in Canada. Trudeau, during that whole run of tyranny that he had going there during his regime, basically Mark Carney assisted him in behind the scenes. And in 2008, when Harper bailed out the banks to the tune of $235 billion, minus the, well, they gave him the whole amount, but basically $235 billion minus the $14 billion that was left by the liberal surplus went to the national debt. And it was Mark Carney that worked with Mr. Harper to do that to the Canadian people and add so much debt, to our economy. Unfortunately, we've elected that person for some reason to be our prime minister. Elbows up, I guess, whatever that means. That's stupid. Too bad it wasn't heads up and people knew what they're doing. In the future, it'll be heads up, not elbows up, and we'll do what we consciously know is the right thing to do. Right now, people are just looking for something new to vote for, and we're going to give them that new thing, and it's going to be a good thing as well. No more of this financial terrorism again. Now, this is, I'm taking part in financial counterterrorism and counterterrorism against terrorist police as well that throw you in jail for disagreeing with World War II history. It's 2 years in jail for that. It's crazy. It's absolutely off the rails. These hate speech charges are crazy. We're also going to have a public inquiry into the Talmud, and we're going to show the Canadian people what the Talmud is, and we're going to show them what hate really is, okay? And that should fill in a lot of gaps for people in the future. I wasn't allowed to bring the Talmud to court to prove that what I said was true. But I don't want to swear on TV, but it's pretty bad. Let's see. And there's no more questions, but we'll get to carry on for a while. It's 8 o'clock right now. We've got an hour to go. I don't know what else to talk about. Let's see. What can we discuss? I don't know. When I was growing up, I watched my parents work hard. They came from Hungary. Actually, they came from Switzerland. They escaped from the Bolsheviks and went to Hungary, or pardon me, to Switzerland, where they lived for a couple of years. They loved the country. It was very clean, and the people were so proper and decent. It was unbelievable. It was like heaven on earth, except for one thing. They could never afford to buy a home. And that's what pushed them out of Switzerland. And right now in Canada, we're living in these conditions, except for the fact that our people aren't really as decent as the Swiss were, because of economics and because of mass immigration. We've got a lot of crime here. And so if we can fix those things, we can have an even better country than Switzerland had. We'll have jobs and we'll have the ability to buy shelter, in your lifetime. And I see us having 10-year mortgages, not 25-year mortgages. At every 6.5% interest, where the rate 6.5%, your mortgage doubles over 25 years. Or pardon me, you add another amount of principal to your loan. So if it's a $100,000 loan at 6.5% interest over 25 years, you're paying $200,000, to be clear, of your loan. And if it's 13% interest, you're paying $300,000 on a $100,000 loan. So it's $100,000 of principal with $200,000 of interest, believe it or not, at 13% interest over 25 years. That's insane. We're not going to do that. We're just going to have straight up loans, and you're going to return what you borrow. Kind of like when you borrow a hammer from your neighbor, you bring a hammer back. And the Mennonites have a saying. They say that big hammers don't make little hammers. And what they're referring to is interest charges, right? Basically, you borrow something, you bring it back. Basically, Pierre Polyev wants to raise interest rates to lower inflation. That's what he said. I heard him say it. He said too much money was printed. Well, number one, that's so inaccurate. Well said. I'm watching my language here. If there's always more debt than money in the economy, how can you possibly print too much money? It's impossible, right? It's just stupid. It's unbelievable, right? And he says that raising interest rates will lower inflation. Well, if you buy a house for cash, is it not cheaper than buying it with interest? Well, there you go. That's disproven then, isn't it? And he wants to be the leader of our nation. Personally, I don't know. I think it's not impossible that Pierre Polyev may cross the floor to join the Liberals. It's not impossible at all. He seems quite pleased with the way Mark Carney's running things. Maybe he's going to join him soon. Maybe he'll get a cabinet position, a step up. Unbelievable. Yeah. What we've got in our country to vote for is just terrible. Absolutely useless. Actually, it's worse than useless. Basically, useless means no use. Basically, these are detrimental things, which is like a negative form of useless, I guess, right? It's less than useless. It's terrible, right? So my parents came to live in our country here for economic reasons. They were safe from communism where they were, but they weren't prosperous, we'll say. They were well-respected, my mom and dad were. They worked hard. They maintained their lifestyle, but they could never advance. And when they came to Canada, back in the 70s, before free trade, you could do very well. I remember talking to trappers. I was a trapper myself, like a fur trapper. And the guys back in the 70s, they used to hire people off the street to help them to process the pelts to sell them to the fur houses, right, to the auction houses. And there was so much money involved back in the day that people were making huge money. Like a trapper told me in one season, he made enough to buy himself a pickup truck. And he was just the trapper's assistant, right? They were getting like $80 for a pelt for raccoons. When I was a trapper just a few years ago, I heard from trappers that used to trap for fur. I used to just remove animals, and for the most part, and basically entirely so. But the trappers that trap for fur were telling me they were getting like maybe $20 for a pelt, maybe $25 if they're lucky for a raccoon. Some guys couldn't even sell their pelts back in the day or now because the economy is so bad. So it goes to show you how our economy shifted so much from being an economy where prosperity was the name of the game to basically hopelessness and debt is the name of the game now. It's unbelievable. And how could we manage those things back in the day? Well, up until 1974, when our government wanted to make to create capital projects, the St. Lawrence Seaway, one person mentioned often enough, so often that I remember it, and the Trans-Canada Highway and things like that, basically they'd pay for it out of government money and have zero interest on the loan that they printed, right? So that people could pay it back and we could have whatever we needed in our nation to live a bit more decently. I mean, sure, we could go back to how we lived a couple hundred years ago, but life would be pretty rough, let me tell you. You don't want that. I don't think anyone wants that. I don't even think that Aboriginal people would like to return to the land the way that it was back in the day. I don't think they want to give up their vehicles. I don't think they want to, you know, have to hunt and fish for every single thing that they get. It's a very difficult way to make a living. Even skilled people like Aboriginals back in the day who grew up with nature, at times you could have a hard time finding food, and it wasn't impossible for those people to go without food. That's why they had to move to follow the animals around. So our civilization needs to be maintained, and our economic system is the fuel for our civilization. So we definitely have to have a proper economic system, and we can't be flooding our country with far too many people. It's like putting too many people in a lifeboat. It's ridiculous, especially people that don't want to be part of our society as well. There's an element of them as well. Some of these people coming here are fine. They want to be Canadian. But as you see, a lot of people don't want to hire native Canadians. They want to hire people from their old country and recreate the magic of their own country and settle amongst each other. And that's not a good thing. You want to have people that want to assimilate into your culture. And we don't have that right now at all. Not much anyway. Pardon me. I don't want to say it doesn't exist, but it's pretty rare, it would seem. If you talk about it on a percentage basis, I do encounter people here and there, like I did in the riding here when I was getting signatures. There are many people who would like to work with us, but there's other people as well that just want to live amongst their own. You know, that's the thing. Nature is like that in a way where if you live in Canada, you have to kind of go against nature sometimes. You have to live amongst people that might not look like you or speak your language. But if you want to be part of a country, you have to make that conscious choice to be a team player. And some people come here not to be that team player. There are some Europeans as well that come here that don't want to be a team player on our team as well. They want to maintain their old cultures and their old communities. And, you know, despite the fact that they're white-skinned people, I don't look on them favorably because I'm a nationalist and I want everybody to want to be Canadian with great enthusiasm, all right? And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to build a nation of Canadians, not a nation of colonizers. And right now we're being colonized by many different people, and we're being called the colonizers as white folks. It's just crazy. But unfortunately, the enemy's found a lot of help amongst people that look like us, that are quite willing to betray us, to do us great harm for whatever reason, either for money or because they've been shamed into thinking that it's the thing to do. And I'm here to tell people it's definitely not the thing to do. You never want to betray your own people and do them great harm for no reason at all, except the fact that we have a skin color that some people are promoting as being an evil thing, right? And then we're just trying to do good for everybody here. And like I said, hats off to everybody that wants to be on my team. And when you're on the Labor First team, you're going to win in time. In time. We're going to have to build it, but in time we'll win. There's no doubt about it. And I hope there's some more questions in the chat. There's like seven people watching right now. That's quite a bit of heavy lifting there, guys. I think almost everyone's asked the question. There's like one, two people, maybe, yeah, a couple of people have asked questions. It's pretty good. It's not, oh, thank you very much for, I saw it move. Oh, Citizen Slave 1984, the Dominion Society of Canada talks about remigration, and they're also going about things in a political way. Are you aware of them? I am aware of them, and I've asked them to help, and I've had other people that are members of that reach out to them and to ask them to join forces with me to try and make our nation a better place. Unfortunately, there's been no response. All right, so whatever, it is what it is. I met one of their people in person in Hamilton. I had a talk in Hamilton one time on a very cold day. A lady began, and then Paul Fromm in the video, he spoke afterwards, and I spoke last. And anyway, during that time at that meeting, I met one of the people there. He wouldn't even tell me his name. I wasn't full of confidence, you know what I mean? So I don't know who these guys are. Well, I know who I am. I know what I'm trying to do, and I've just disclosed that to you. You know my name. And basically, you know, and I'm trying to fix things economically in all kinds of other ways, and also to straighten out our demographic a bit so that we end up with a high trust, low violence society, and that's what we're going for. But I'm not too sure about these people, my friend. If you notice their address, if I'm not mistaken, is One Rideau Street. And if you look at what One Rideau Street looks like to me, I think it's the Frontenac Chateau Laurier Hotel, right? That's a pretty high class place. I mean, I'm trying to start an organization, but I sure don't have the money to, you know, rent a room in a place like that, or an office, or even a postal box, I think, from that place. I'm not sure. All right. I don't know what their game is. I can only hope the best. I wish everybody the best, but I really don't know what they're about. You know, I know what I'm about. Like I said, I'm disclosing everything to you guys, and you know, that's all I can do. And we'll let the chips fall where they will. But I'll take help from anyone to save my beautiful Canadian people. And it's going to come from them. It's not going to come from any other country. There's going to be no army that's going to show up to save us from these evil people that are running things. All right. It's going to be Canadians that are going to save us, or it's going to be Canadians that do nothing and let us go down the drain. And regarding the white question in Canada, we have to ask ourselves, is the white race even meant to be? You know what I mean? If people keep voting for the things that do us harm, then, you know, maybe we're not even meant to be. You know, it's amazing. I'm not giving up, obviously. I'm just trying to save people's lives and perpetuate our skin color a little bit, but we're only asking for equal rights. We're pretty far from a supremacist organization, let me tell you. The last thing I want to do is live up to the billing that's been imposed on us by some really bad people in the media, all right, and government and whatever else. And so basically, we're just trying to be the best examples of humanity that we can be. And you know, I'll work with anybody who shares these ideals, and I don't care what they look like, right? But we definitely need to stand up for ourselves. We're being erased. There's no doubt about this. And then what happens when the white race is gone? The rest of the races might fall a lot easier, because in historical terms, it seems like the white people were the only people that got rid of these communists in the past, we'll call them, okay? And a couple of Arab nations did too. Gaddafi ended up getting killed by these folks, unfortunately, because he brought in the dinar. He went up against the bankers as well, right? So when you go up against bankers, you've got problems, because they've got a lot of financing behind them to do the work. And I'm not sure if who this Dominion Society represents, to tell you the truth. I know that the PPC reputedly had some very strange beginnings, and there's a some kind of citizens intelligence report that came out back during the truckers convoy, and it said that Canada Incorporated, which is apparently run by Johanna Menne, when she used to be a Menne, I think her name was, back in the day when it was formed, when it was first formed, she used to handle money for about 100 different organizations in Canada, and for some reason she got tied into the PPC as well, the People's Party of Canada, and they had some kind of CSIS gave them one of their offices. So right there, I'm a bit suspicious about what they're about. And then I heard Miss Maxime Bernier talking about the gold standard. I mean, he was saying banks should acquire gold to back currency with gold. Think about what that means, Are you saying that banks should spend money on gold and then use it to print money? Are you kidding me? That's just insane. No, besides, gold's a terrible standard, right? A standard is supposed to be constant, and the price of gold is far from constant. It fluctuates like crazy. It's not a good standard whatsoever. You know, it's stupid. And like I said before, how did the gold get here? Labor, right? So it goes back to labor all the time. Labor is your best standard. And the cost of labor doesn't change that often either. It's fairly standard as well. Of course, with you know, years of service, you're going to get more money. And that's just a great way to retain your workers. And that's a standard thing. But the basic job being done only brings in so much money. So even your workers are limited to what they can make by the title that they have or by the job that they do. But every worker should have a working wage pension where they can earn a life, not just an existence. And that's what we're going to be going for in the future. And we'll succeed. We'll make that happen. We'll bring back the prosperous single income family in the future. I guarantee that's going to happen. Just like it was in the old days, we're going to bring it back, right? So we've got a lot to look forward to. Our future is kind of, you know, dismal right now, our near future, but our distant future is looking really, really good if we do things right, providing they don't suck us into some stupid nuclear war in the middle, you know, in the meantime. So yeah, that's what it is. And I hope I answered your question on the Dominion Society, my friend. Like I said, I'm always hopeful when I see new organizations start. But remember, some things are controlled opposition. We have to be careful with who we support. But like I said, I don't know them to comment so much on it. I've shared some experiences I've had with them, and I've gotten a big nothing burger back when I asked them for help. All right, that's the thing. So I do have one of their members in my party for sure. And also the Second Sons fellas, I've asked them for help, and I've had no official response, but I've had a little bit of response from people that know them, all right? So that's helpful. And they're really nice folks. I think a couple of fellows from Quebec jumped on board, or one of them did for sure, and the other one's just nice to correspond with on the chats, all right? So good luck to everybody involved. We're all pushing in the same direction, hopefully, and we'll see where this leads, all right? I can only vouch for myself, and that's all I can vouch for. You know, I could have a party full of people, but even then, I can respect them and like them, get along with them, work with them, but ultimately I can only vouch for myself. The world is full of weasels, and I'm not one of them. And I'm just going to cough for a second. Pardon me. Had to look down to see where the mute button was. I've gotten trained to mute the sound when I'm going to do something like that. And you're very welcome, Citizen Slave 1984. Yeah, it is interesting info. One time, Dave Gaharie on our show, More of Less on FUJ Media, which is on at 10 in the morning till 12 p.m. on Fridays. Dave did a Google search, like a Google Earth search on Street View, I think it's called, on that location. And he pointed out the control building for the Rideau Canal, this little hut. Like, it's a stone building. It looks actually quite nice. And I thought, well, that's their headquarters. Wow, that could be expensive. But, you know, I thought, that seems odd. And he spun the camera around to one Rideau Street. It was the Chateau Frontenac. So I had to wonder, yeah. And that young fella I met, he was sure polite. But, I mean, if they're not even going to tell you their names, I mean, wow, man, that's unbelievable. But like I said, who knows? You know, I'm not holding my breath. And I'm just going to go door to door. And whoever wants to be a member of this party will be a member of this party. I don't care what they look like. As long as they want to push a better Canada in the right direction, or push for a better Canada and help us all push in the right direction, then they're on our team. And if they're going to help to give whites equal rights, then who cares what they look like, okay? That's a real nice thing to do. And that'll help us unify our nation in the future with one unifying culture, all right? Multiracialism is not a culture. It's just it's a thing. But a culture is where everyone thinks in a similar manner, your mind, right? And that's the thing. We need like-mindedness in our nation. It's the most important thing. You'll notice that Western civilization is crumbling, and it used to be a formerly white civilization. That's generally what Western civilization means. It's the white culture. And you'll notice it's been infiltrated, and it's been deteriorating over time. I mean, that's, as you can see, like-mindedness doesn't seem to prevail right now. We have to be like-minded to win. And if people from other races want to help us to pick up the pieces and to save ourselves, then I'm all for helping them to save, or no, helping them help us to save the white race. And they'll take a market share of anything that good that comes out of our economy in the future because they've earned it. We're not just giving away things to people just for the sake of filling spaces. People are actually going to earn their way through life in Canada, and we're all going to be a lot better in the future because of this. And that's why we're promoting good manners. But don't let yourselves be run over, white folks. I mean, you have a right to work. You have a right to live decently if you earn that right. You have to put in the work, though. So if you really want good things, then help me to help you, and we'll build something beautiful in Canada. It's going to be marvelous, like Leon Degrelle said, right? What a great man he was. A beautiful guy, right? So this could be marvelous. And basically, guys, we're the vanguard now. It's our time on the field, and either we make a beautiful country or we get destroyed. And that's all there is to it. Look at the resources we have, the land mass we have. We could accomplish great things in our country, and we could also build a really decent military, which we need to do. It's actually a requirement. We can't let Israel defend us, right? Like it used to be America, but since it's run by Israel now, and they've infiltrated our government as well, and their mandate is to do great harm to all non-members, and we don't want to have anything to do with that if you know what's going on. And basically, if you want to save humanity, and including the white race, you're going to want to help me to push in the right direction to push these evil people away from positions of power at the very least. All right, never let them reoffend, that's for sure. It's far too dangerous. We were lucky to make it through the COVID, psychological warfare, paramilitary terrorist operation that it was, backed by police violence, and where they put like poison vaccines into people, made people take vaccines through severe coercion. I mean, that's just amazing. I never thought it would happen in our lifetime. That's just what it is, so. Yeah, so if there's any more questions, I'd be glad to answer them. I mean, I'm always looking for things to talk about. But like I said, my parents came here, and back in the day, I'll tell you more about that. Back in this, I'll tell you stories from the 70s, economic stories. I lived through them myself. My parents weren't rich. They came here. The person that was supposed to send the money to them didn't send the money. So basically, they came here with a lot less than they thought they had. But the economy is such that if you could, you heard the stories. I showed up in Canada with $2, and I made a, I turned my company into a major manufacturing corporation or something like that. Like these stories were more common in the past. A little bit of hard work would pay off in the past, right? And so my mom and pa, they came to Canada, and they worked, and they got a house. And my mom was working in a delicatessen that she used to run her own business. And that's one of the reasons they got out of the communist country, was they wanted to run their own business, right? So they did that in Canada. My dad had a very small machine shop, and he had a hard time getting work, though. It wasn't like they were just throwing it at him, but he got a couple of contracts, or made relationships with a couple of companies, and we started to live very well. This might be hard for some of you guys to believe, but I think it was an amount, I think it was of $7,000 that my mother had in her purse one day. She didn't even know it. We're talking the 70s. You know how much money that was? Our house cost, I think the house that I live in now is $13,000 back in about 1972 or three. Okay. So by about 1979-ish, 78, my mom had a call. She got a call from our customer. And he asked her, he says, "Did you cash the check?" Apparently their accounting wasn't working out, and they didn't know why. And my mom didn't even know that she had a cash check or a check in her purse for $7,000. All right, my parents were making good money back then, back in the day, the same time the trappers were making money. All right, just after Trudeau ruined the bank, the trickle-down fallout hadn't hit people by then yet with the interest rates, but things were starting to decline a bit. But right in the late 70s, our economy was doing fairly well. It wasn't until the early 80s that we had when I was a small child, I learned what a recession was, right? I was about 12 years old in 1982. And I learned that it wasn't a good thing, right? But up until then, man, you could make some money. It was amazing. And I also learned that during recessions, factories closed down. And I learned this as a small child, but they come back over time. It wasn't until 1988 when Mulroney fixed that and brought in free trade. And those factories, when they closed down, that was a permanent thing. And that wasn't good. I live across the street from an open lot right now. And across the street from my house was Massey Ferguson and White Farm. And to my left of my house down the road was a company called Stearnson, a chemical company. And they all employed people. I remember trying to leave our house to pull out the driveway at quitting time. And it was amazing how busy the road was. It was just a solid chain of cars. You just had to wait it out. You had to wait a good half hour before all the folks were gone home already. Then we could get out of our driveway. It was amazing. But it was, that's the cost that's worth paying, because you know that a lot of people are making money and they're putting money into the economy. There were a lot more corner stores back then, like small ones. There were a lot more of these little mom-and-pop restaurants as well. Just in the little, I live in an older neighborhood, and you can see where some of these homes were, they had additions put on them to accommodate a little diner, or there were stores. You see the way the home was built, where the, if it's a corner house like mine, although mine doesn't have an entrance like the one I'm going to describe to you, but they had the stairs into the corner, like the stairs like went walked right into the corner so that, you know, you walk into the store up the stairs into the corner. That's how it was, a strange layout. And there were a few of those places around as well. Even when I was a child, some of those were closed down. They're in decline. But that's probably, you know, around 1976, 77 when the decline happened a little bit. That's probably Trudeau's policies kicking in, and his father, Pierre, when he, you know, brought in the Rothschild's banking system into Canada, unfortunately, with the interest charging on the government, government loans, although people always paid interest on their house loans, right? So it wasn't a perfect system before that either. But the economy was very different back in the day. You could make some money doing just about anything if you wanted to work. So today things are much different. They're paying people to take our jobs, right? They say, oh, I can't find Canadians to do the job. That's not entirely true. You'll notice that it seems like Tim Hortons has been firing employees because the employees were the wrong color. Imagine that. Imagine people coming to a country where 70% of the people are a certain type of people and you discriminate against the majority. That's unreal, you know. And we're going to stop that big time. We're going to have equal rights for everybody, all right? Not just whites, but everybody. And that's just the way it's going to be. This is unbelievable what's going on. We're going to stop the white replacement, and that you, we're going to get out of the UN in the future. You know, we'll see about NATO. I'm just going to hang on to that thought for a bit with those guys in case it helps us militarily. I'm not sure what the future brings, although it could suck us into a war as well. You could pretty much flip a coin on what to do with that. But UN, definitely we need to be out of the UN. We don't want to be part of the Israeli world order, the one world government, right? That's what that is right now. You can see who it is right now easily. And Russia and the Ukraine are all governed by the same types, the bankers, right? And so is communist China, believe it or not. And so wherever you have interest charging banking, you can see the influence of the international bankers there, and they're not the good guys at all. You know, so we're moving along fairly well. We've got about a half an hour to go. I mean, let's see, what else can we talk about? Life in the 70s was pretty good. Talked about the trapping. We talked about, oh, I know. I worked at a company as well. It was a machine shop, and it was established in the 70s. And they built this machine shop, and they expanded, right? And they were continuously growing until a certain point in time. And then by the time I got there to work, just before COVID, it was unreal. I worked with some of the best machinists that I've ever worked with in my whole career. I've been cutting steel since I was 8 years old. My dad put me on a big Heiligenstadt German lathe when I was 8 years old. I was trepanning. That was my first job. Now, I didn't set that up. I mean, you know, he set the feed rate. He had everything just perfect. I was trepanning through some cast iron caps, they called them, right? And trepanning just means you're parting a circle out. You're not drilling a circle. You're not removing that material in chips. What you're doing is you're taking a blade and you're going in, and you're basically, it's like a big cookie cutter. You're going to end up with a big puck that comes out, and that's how you cut it instead of drilling through it, removing that material. It's a real fast way to remove material if you can manage to do it without breaking your tool. And later on in life, let me tell you, I had a couple tense moments as a machinist trying to make the same move again that my father so easily set up for me as a child. So that was my first job in a machine shop. And, I've been doing it since I was 8 years old. I was kind of a prodigy in the neighborhood. The children would come around, the window would be there, be watching me work, and all my buddies. And, it was kind of hard because you wanted to go play with them, but you had to do your work, right? So you did the work. And let me tell you, child labor done right does build character, not like in China and all that stuff, but you do it right. You help your father on the farm, things like that, right? But anyway, this machine shop that I worked in with some of the best machinists that I've ever worked with, it was unbelievable. We could barely make a profit and stay afloat. And that's how bad the economy's gone. It's just terrible. And so, that's the thing we can reverse. We can get rid of free trade, protect our manufacturing with price controls only on the goods that we make. There's no point in driving up inflation on everything else. That'd be just dumb. And also, we used to have, I saw a politician in the past, and I believe this figure is correct, otherwise I wouldn't quote it, but I think we had something like over 100,000 dairy farmers at one time, and now we only have like 12,000, and that may be even lower in number now. And so I remember we also had dairies in every community pretty much. I live in Brantford, and we had a place called Brant Dairy, but a small little hamlet like St. George also had its own dairy. So it was amazing. We had a lot more diversity when it came to employment and producing food and other manufactured goods than we do today. Even I think straight up, like not just per capita, but straight up, we had more diversity back in the day. We made more things in Canada than we do now. And we've got to bring that back. And I definitely plan on seeing those glory days come back to our country. After a Labour First win, we are the Labour Party, but after a Labour First win at the polls, and hopefully it isn't in 4 years, hopefully it comes sooner than that, because people need relief now, if not yesterday, if you know what I'm saying. I'm not affluent whatsoever. I've had a hard time finding work after being a political prisoner, but I'll employ myself once the smoke clears. Basically, I just want to see if I can get this party going, which I certainly will do. I'm complete confidence that we're going to do this, because people aren't going to just sit back and allow our country to go down, especially when we have a good plan in place to fix it. We'd be gutless cowards not to straighten out our country when we have the means to do it. All right, we let COVID happen without any response. Let's hope we can stand up to our economic terrorism and fix it. I'm not asking people to risk their lives per se. I'll be the one doing that. By heading this. Like I said, the bankers don't like guys like me. That might be another reason that they tried to keep me in jail. Maybe they thought that I'd get killed in there. And it was a pretty dangerous place where I spent my 2 years. Maplehurst was dangerous, but I had the respect of a lot of people. And I gave a lot of those great men respect as well. I know they're criminals, but they had a lot of great qualities. Some of these guys were just real men, men of action, tough guys, intelligent men, all kinds of people, right? I've served my time serving my country with some really decent people, and even some of the guards were they were decent as far as the political things going otherwise, and they treated us fairly well. Some of them weren't the best, but the majority of the guards seemed like they're at least half-assed, right? They're decent guys, and I enjoyed talking politics with these fellas and trying to straighten them out, because I don't like to see Canadians vote poorly, because it harms us all. A bad vote cast for an evil dictator is a bad vote cast for an evil dictator. You want to prevent all that from happening. So I thought I'd give them some hope. And I think I gave these guys some hope. A lot of them said that I shouldn't even be in jail. And obviously I agree with them. And a lot of people agree with them. The judge said every Canadian was harmed by what I did. But no, I tried to save every Canadian. The judge always also lied to the jury and said that Goyim just means non-Jew. But it actually means, animals created in human form to serve Jews, right? And I think that was one of the most searched words was Goyim and Rothschild, I understand, the last little while. So people are starting to learn what's real, all right? I'm not saying every Jew is a bad guy, but the element is there. There's no doubt about it. And I call them Zionists, these bad guys, Zionist communists, right? I had a couple of Jews sign my sheets. It was kind of funny. But I tell you what, if people are going to help me and they've got a good heart, I'm quite willing to create a good place for them in a country that's prosperous and free, if they're not weasels and trying to, you know, just act like good people. But that could be anybody. A lot of people that look like us, that aren't Jewish, that are white, they're definitely doing us great harm right now, as much as anyone is. And these people need to be taught not to do that, or they need to be removed if they can't be taught to behave properly and not be so self-hating or just hate us for whatever reason it is and do us great harm. We could have a beautiful country here with the people that we have, and we're going to deport an awful lot, of course, of invaders and traitors. But if people are here to help us build a country, welcome aboard. We appreciate the help, and we're definitely going to treat you the way that we'd like to be treated. And I talk to a lot of people out there in this world, and some of them have been vilified. And some of the people that have been vilified the most have the nicest things to say about others. They talk more like Jesus than they do like the devil, let me tell you. You know, so it's going to be nice to get a handle on that media and replace them and provide people with a real education as to what's what in this world, and to show them what evil really is as well. When we expose the Talmud to them, it's going to be unbelievable. You know, it's just terrible stuff. So let's see. We've got a weird login screen popped up for a bit, but I solved it with Josh, who helped. Going strong from 20 minutes now. Oh, right on. Well, thank you very much, Jingle VM. Thanks very much. And thanks very much, Josh, who. Josh, who is the technical person on FTJmedia.com. It's a new video sharing platform. I recommend everybody go there to watch to see what's going on in this world. It is a more or less a white-centric platform, but decent people do speak there, and you'll get a lot of good information that'll help all people on that channel, on that video sharing platform. I recommend it. If you come to my show on Fridays from 10 in the morning till 12 p.m., then you'll get a talk like this, but I'll have company. I generally don't speak alone. I generally have people helping. Paul Fromm, Canada's longest serving human rights activist, as far as I know, is on the show with us. He's joined us in the last couple of months. I'm glad to have him aboard. He runs the Canadian Association for Free Expression. And if if anybody knows about the trials and tribulations of people that want to speak their minds in Canada, it's Mr. Paul Fromm. He's the highest authority on what's been going on in Canadian free speech battles. He's been around with the greats. Mr. Ernst Zundel, Paul Fromm knew him in his time. The legendary Ernst Zundel, the great man. You know, he should have monuments dedicated to him in Canada. You know, we should be repurposing some buildings for him in Canada, name them after him. He's such a great human being, this fella. He wasn't even a Canadian citizen, yet he fought for free speech in Canada and tried to show us what was what when it comes to World War II history. Unfortunately, he was vilified and prosecuted ridiculously for what the offense really was. It was crazy. Yeah, it's amazing how important certain aspects of history are to some people. Some people say that that aspect of history is a linchpin to hold together the whole efforts of the world order, the new world order, right? The Israeli world order. So, you know, telling the truth can free a lot of people, but it can also get people in trouble if that version of history is an illegal one. And in Canada, we have a legal version of history and an illegal version of history. I'm not going to broach the topic of the illegal version whatsoever. All right. Citizens, oh, by the way, that was, I think I mentioned his name, Jingle VM, was the one that told us about FTJ Media and how things are functioning. Thank you very much. We just got another comment from Citizen Slave 1984 in the chat. Ernst Zundel said that Weimar conditions will result in Weimar solutions once again. And I guess, my friend, I guess we're part of those Weimar solutions, are we not? We're bringing in the interest-free banking system the same way the Germans did, right? And we're going to fix our economy the way that they did as well. It's going to be wonderful once we win. And we'll know what to do when it comes to international trade as well. We'll just trade goods for goods. And, oh, he says, Jingo VM is Giuseppe. Well, Giuseppe, it's good to see you, my friend. What a nice guy. He's got some nice husky dogs, too. He's a nice fella. And, yeah, basically, he's a really nice, good-hearted fella. And I'm glad to be with this guy on his shows. It's a lot of fun. And, He has the best panel discussions. He has the most interesting people on his show. He's got a fella who's been listed as a terrorist in Canada. His name is James Mason. He's a really nice fella. He's a proponent of peaceful change. He's seen, pardon me, Mr. James Mason has seen a lot of different approaches to make change. And he's also known a few people that have taken a violent way out, and basically it ended their lives with no real positive result, we'll say, although they are martyrs to a cause. Basically, all it resulted was more laws being brought down against people and more, ammunition being given to the enemy. But I mean, you know, a martyr is a martyr, and you hope that they rest in peace, these people who attempted to do good, but they did it in a way that might have been more detrimental than good for people. And, that's just the way it is. And Mr. Mason likes what we're doing here. He likes our approach, and he wishes Canada the best, and I wish him the best as well, you know. And who else goes on the show is a lot. A guy named UK Steve comes on to Giuseppe's show sometimes. He's an interesting fellow from UK. And he talks about all kinds of different things, the monetary system. He talks about paramilitary solutions too. But like I said, the best way to get out of this is through the political way, I believe. I know the system is corrupt, but this is a great way to organize people and to get information out in a legal way. And the outcomes can be fantastic for people. We can have a great life. After all, I was on a show one time with a fella, and he was a proponent of a military solution to our problems. And he said that there's never, ever been a peaceful way to get out of communism. And I thanked him for his comment. And basically I went on and said, well, there was one instance in history where people voted their way out of this. And that was in 1933 Germany. They voted their way out of communism and installed an interest-free banking system backed by labor. And it was wonderful. They had the strongest economy at the time when the world was in economic turmoil. And they had the worst conditions to start with. They started with the very, very lowest possible starting point, and they rose higher than the rest of the nations in the world. They became an example of goodness to the world when it came to economic prosperity. It was just amazing. And they took care of their people. Japan did too. There's a fellow in our party out in BC, and he sent me some literature. And apparently the Japanese took the same avenue that the Germans did, and that's how they could build their industrial might before the war. They had interest-free banking there as well, as far as I know. So the Germans and the Japanese, they proved at a time in history when conditions were worse than they've ever been, basically that you can climb out of it if you just take things into your own hands, your economic system, and make positive change and look after your workers, and they'll look after you, and they'll create a beautiful country for you, providing they can make a living doing it. And that's the key. If a worker's rewarded, the worker's going to work, and the worker's going to be motivated. And that's why communism's a failure. You can't just tell people, like, you can't have anything. Just work, and you'll get food, nothing else. I mean, that's that whole you'll own nothing and be happy crap. You don't want that. You want an economy where you can earn and enjoy the fruits of your labor and have the freedom to have a little extra money to spend on some other things, some luxuries or some goods that give you pleasure. You know what I mean? Like if you want to buy a fancy automobile or something like that in the future, you'll be able to. Or, you know, buy that nice bit of steak you want every week or a couple times a week. And support Alberta farmers or Ontario farmers that grow grass-fed beef, you know. And we're definitely going to be using Alberta oil here in Canada, and that's why Alberta is not going to be allowed to separate. If Alberta separatists want to separate, I'll help them. We can separate their asses from our country. We can separate them from our country, and it's no big deal to me. If you don't want to be Canadian, hit the road. See you later. Bye bye. You know, we only want to be here for Canadians, and that's my mandate starts and ends in Canada. And I'm not going to tolerate any kind of separatist, Alberta or Quebec types, anybody. If you don't want to be here, there's a plane. Put your shoes on, go for a walk. Put your swim trunks on, hit the ocean. See you later. Have a nice day. Nighty night, you know. Get on a dog sled, hit the road, go over the Arctic Circle when it's cold. Keep going. Russia, Finland, they might be looking for people that don't like their countries. I don't know. But we certainly don't want people like that here. All right. They're just a detriment to our nation. And they've been influenced, they say, by Trump, which means they've been influenced by Netanyahu, because that's who runs America. All right. They want to tear apart the world. We're on the other team. We're nationalists. We're trying to build a beautiful country for our people here. We're also quite willing to help nationalists and other nations, number one, by being an example to them. And if they actually happen to get power in their country, sure, we'll help them out with a little bit of energy resources and things like that. Obviously, they're going to pay us or trade us goods for that. But we're definitely going to give them help to get on their feet, to get out of this communism and to reverse the white replacement and to create decent societies for themselves. All right, that's what this is about. The golden rule is the most important thing in the world. I'm not even a Christian, but I love the way Jesus talked about these things. You should treat other people the way that you'd like to be treated. And generally, that's a good way to go. But always be aware that there is a weasel here and there. And so just keep an eye open. Don't be too naive, all right? That's a danger. You want to protect yourself and your nation from people like that. So we're almost there. We got about 15 minutes left to go. I don't want to shortchange anybody. You know, we lost a viewer, but we've got six guys left still. And we're doing pretty good for a broadcast with no frills. There's nothing to show you. It kind of feels kind of like a no-frills situation here, but at least the talk is a high-quality one, I hope, because the things that we're talking about are the things that are going to change our nation and make us prosperous and free. And right now, I'm not sure what they're doing at the Jewish Community Center. I don't think they're getting the information that you few people are getting. I think they're just getting a bunch of crap, to tell you the truth. And that's why I don't really miss not attending that. I do like to compete to show our platform in comparison to the other parties' platforms and to the individuals that are running. But obviously, I wasn't given that opportunity. So I thought I'd make an opportunity. And thank you very much for providing me the opportunity here. It's nice of you guys to do that, you know. And very nice. And I'm quite happy to speak to a few people. It's better than listening to these people lie to us. We've had enough of that. And our future is good if we get together. The more work we do, the more we push in the same direction, the sooner we're going to get where we want to go, and the sooner we're going to be able to build a great civilization in Canada again. Right now, it's just it's a crap show right now. It's terrible. A lot of people are on those hard drugs, the methamphetamines and the fentanyl in jail. I met a lot of guys that were affected by these things. The fellas would show up just skinny. You know, I remember giving guys my extra bread here. You know, I was trying not to eat too bread. I was trying to stay in shape. So I'd trade, I'd give them bread or trade it for something, whatever. But yeah, it pulls on your heartstrings when you see fellas in such bad shape. It's amazing, you know. And Citizen Slave 1984 says they're digging tunnels. I'm not sure who's referring to it. There's a couple tunnels that we could be talking about. Apparently, they found some tunnels underneath a synagogue or something like that in New York City. It had bloodstained mattresses and little kids' chairs were in there and things like that, real, really weird things. And but they might be digging tunnels to escape from World War II. I'm not sure what this refers to. In Canada, we have to really watch how we speak. We don't want to go to jail for hate speech offenses. And that's the enemy's defense mechanism. Basically, if you can't describe who's doing you harm in your country, then basically the enemy is going to win because you can't identify the enemy, right? So all these anti-speech laws have been put up by people who don't want Canadians to communicate with each other. And in Canada, us Canadians, really, we really like to talk to one another. And we don't like to be stifled. We don't like to be terrorized into being silent, right? So that's the thing. That's why I'm here, one of the reasons. And I'm going to definitely make sure that Canadians will be able to name their former government whenever they'd like to, right? Without having any kind of repercussions, you're going to be able to challenge World War II history to your heart's content. People don't agree with you, that's all there is to it, but you're not going to go to jail for that and start shaking the camera there. So that's pretty much it. So, Oh, I see what he's saying. He's saying they're digging tunnels over where the other speech is being held, the meeting, yes. Yeah, who knows? I know that I'm a surface dweller, and I'm overt, and like I said, they can get me anytime they want. The police can come and get me and throw me in jail, whatever. I mean, they make the laws, they write our laws, they print our money. I mean, you can tell by the legislation who runs what. It's not a secret to people what's what. You know what I mean? It's just absolutely terrible. So once we get a real Canadian government in place and get real Canadian people to protect us, right, to actually serve and protect us, not the enemy, then we'll be in a lot better shape. It's going to be good. I am really looking forward to the future in our nation, and I enjoy the fight. Let me tell you, it's dangerous, but it warms your heart to do this much good for people. It's so good, and I hope other people join me in politics to run for office in the future to do more good. Basically, we're almost like the warrior poets at this point, because what we're doing is dangerous, and we're using words to try and win. It's just crazy what's going on. And that's pretty much just about it. It's almost time to wrap her up tonight, guys. We've got a few minutes left. I don't want to shortchange anybody. So if you got any more questions, let's have them. We got a few more minutes, and if there's a lot of questions, I can spend extra time too. I'm not too tired. I had to close my eyes for a few minutes before the show to rest my old head there. I'm not as young as I used to be, that's for sure, right? So if anyone has anything else they'd like to ask, I mean, I think the people in this chat are very well informed. So basically, they already know what's up, and they probably, some of these folks have probably heard me speak before. And so they could probably inform the country on how to make this better here and be very accurate in doing so. And so, so we got about 10 minutes left to go. Let's see, what else can we talk about? So we talked about the 70s and how much better it was for starting a business and working at the time. The cost of living was a lot less. You didn't have to make as much. You saved more. So when we lower the cost of living for people, they won't have to earn as much. And if you couple the newer cost of living with the minimum wage that it is now, people will live quite well, even people that do menial jobs. So when the day comes when white people can work at Tim Hortons again, and they can buy a house for $100,000 or less, an average house, they're going to be doing a lot better. And let's see, a stupid 747648 says, in the 80s, as a child, collected cans. I made more money than my parents. Exactly. Yeah, there was a factory across the street from my house, and we used to go and look for pop bottles. And yeah, it was amazing what you could do. That's amazing, man. Wow. And I guess a lot of people were booze cruising back in the day too, so you'd have a lot of I don't promote drinking and driving, but I mean, if the driver's sober, I mean, I don't see a problem with people having a few drinks. And those cans generally and bottles end up on the side of the road, and people pick those things up and take them back. I mean, it's the way to do it. I mean, they're worth money, and if it's worth your while, it's worth doing. It's amazing. And Jingo VM says, how can you use word of mouth to reach angry voters who would support the Labour Party? Well, we can just ask people to tell other people about it, and hopefully they're good ambassadors for us. And if we limit things to the economic message, I think that would be the sweetest honey of all to attract all the people to help us in our cause. And stupid 7648 says the cans were 5 cents in the big 2 liter bottles. And the big 2 liter bottles were 10 cents. Oh yeah, I remember that too. I remember saving up money for candy from those things when I was a child. I used to like to buy those little marshmallow candies that had sprinkles on them. Those little, some of them were shaped like peanuts and things. It was amazing. Once in a while, you buy yourself a bottle of pop with the money that you made from collecting pop bottles. We were little workers when we were children. We weren't little bums. I mean, our parents weren't, they might give us a little allowance, but we had to earn our own money. So we'd shovel snow or sing Christmas carols, cut grass when we could. We were enterprising young people when I was a child, let me tell you. And, a couple of bucks in your pocket would go quite a ways. I remember having under 700 bucks, and I went for quite a little trip around Southern Ontario. I was amazed. Went to Ottawa and stayed in hotels and things and paid for the gas. And it was amazing what you could get for a little bit of money. When the cost of living goes down, let me tell you, people live a lot better. You don't need to make a whole lot of money You saving money, will get you a lot further. And then Stupid 748, oh, it's Jingo VM says, good old booze cruisers in the 70s, exactly. I remember being a child and, you know, being a witness to this in a car with people that were driving around. Of course, the driver was in good shape, but people were getting hammered and they're just having a good time. No one was getting hurt. You know, the odd sign ended up wearing a beer bottle. I remember that. You know, I got to say, as an 8-year-old, I got to try my hand at it. I got a pretty good aim. But it was amazing what we did when we were children, you know. And they included us. They knew I was a pretty good fellow. I wasn't going to tell on anybody. And everything was very safe. You know, it's totally frowned upon now. There's no doubt about it. But done right, I mean, give people a little freedom as long as they manage their freedom. And think of others that you don't have an issue with as public safety. That's the thing. I'm all for public safety. I wouldn't want any of my loved ones or even a stranger to be harmed by someone because of their frivolousness. There's no doubt about it. But hey, a good time was had by all because no one got hurt in my circle. Some people did burn, but you know, if you're doing it safely, you're doing it safely. If you're not, then that's what's going to happen, right? Common sense is the key to things. And a stupid 7648 says, me and my friends with dumpster diving, we made a lot to bet. I didn't save it and buy a house back then. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, spend your money as you make it or save it and buy something nice. Those are your options, right? And yeah, people still do dumpster diving now. I see that people go around and they collect scrap. I mean, you know, I'm not opposed to taking in some scrap and making some money. It says, Jingo and VM says, Mr. Prime Minister, all fired up that Canadian Rockets, Rockers Triumph have reformed and are doing a 50th anniversary tour. No way. Triumph? They're one of my favorite bands. That's great news. Yeah, Rick Emmett was fantastic. The gentleman commenting, by the way, for you people out there, if you don't know it, Giuseppe. This guy could play guitar. It's unreal. He did a show with a guy named Flood. And Giuseppe used to talk about his band days and whatever. You know, you'd hear him speaking. And, you know, I didn't know. And I believe what he said. But to hear his work and to hear the art, the man could play guitar. On his show, the opening is a guitar riff. And I used to wonder if he wrote that after I found out he was a guitar player. And I guess it came from a song called The Hunger. And Giuseppe was quite a guy. And he still is. He's trying to save humanity, but by providing people with good information to help them steer through the fog, right? So it's good to know him, and he's a talented fellow. What can I say? And highly intelligent as well. Said everything except for good looking. And surprised that too. I don't want to say that. No homo. And stupid 764. You won't hear politicians say that much, I bet you either, right? Anyway, stupid 7648 says, and then we started collecting for the Jimmy Fund. And keep in mind, most of the profits left. Nice. Well done. Nice. And Citizen Slave 1984 says, they'll be at Scotiabank Arena on April 24th. Wow. Well, I probably won't make that concert, but I'd love to see Triumph in concert. I haven't been to a concert in quite a while. There's a place called Zoos. Just east of Dunville, it's towards the border. I think it's near Fort Erie, just past Wellenport. I think I forget where. Oh, near Crystal Beach. That's where it is. And they have animals there and things like a zoo. But they also have a venue for concerts. And I used to go there when I used to live in Dunville. That was so fun. You take the back roads, enjoy the country drive, pull up on the, you know, the venue, go watch a show and come home. It was quite a nice thing. I saw Fog Hat there. I think it wasn't Kim Mitchell. I saw him in not Beamsville, somewhere near Niagara on the Lake. I forget what it was called now. Fruitland. No, I can forget where the place was. It was a really small place. I forget what it's called. I can picture it, but I can't think of the name of it. Anyway, so yeah, I enjoy watching the bands from the old days and some new bands if they're any good. But yeah, it was fun, you know. And thanks for the tip on the concert announcements. Thank you. It's very good to announce that. I'm sure Triumph would appreciate it. Hey, and I'm all for supporting Triumph. I love those guys. All right? That's the thing. And stupid 7648 says we kept most of the profits. That's it. The Jimmy Fund, I'm not exactly sure what that means. I'm not sure you should disclose that right now. But if it's something that's not going to get you in trouble, I'd like to know what that means. But yeah, I remember the old days when we were children. Let me tell you, we used to monkey around quite a bit. like they say, idle hands do the devil's work. There's nothing to do. You find something to do when you're young. The last thing you like being in when you're young is bored. You know what I mean? You're always up to something. And generally, we weren't real destructive children, but we used to get chased by the police a bit, and it helped with our track careers later on. Let me tell you, hopping fences and hiding in dumpsters and whatever else it was, just for generally trespassing when we're small children. And back in the day, it was funny. The police cars had these lights; they'd whistle, so you could hear them coming from like a couple kilometers away. You could hear, rocking down the road, so you knew they were coming. So you just get out of the way and watch them sit there, have a good laugh, and go back to what you're doing before. It's kind of funny. And stupid 7648 says, "Great listening to you, Les. You're a great peasant." Well, thank you very much. And I hope you elect me to be your head peasant someday in Canada if you're a Canadian. All right, guys, it's a real pleasure. We've got about a minute to go. And we managed to stretch it out a bit. And I hope I didn't bore anyone. And thank you very, very much for your comments in the chat, guys. You made the show better. Believe me, I would have been sitting here like a dummy if it weren't for answering your questions. Thank you very much. And stupid 7648 says, "No, that was back in the 80s in Boston." Oh, yeah, nice. I live near Boston, Ontario, by the way. And there's also another place, Hartford, Ontario, right in the same area, just a hamlet over. It's interesting how we share a lot of common names, eh? Because we have a common ancestry. The English settled here, and so we got a lot of those names here. But anyhow, it was a pleasure to talk to you guys all tonight. And if you're, what's this say? It says, Jingo VM, "My top 10 all-time favorite songs is A Criminal Mind by Lawrence Gowan. Have you heard it?" Yeah, Larry Gowan. I remember the days they used to have commercials, Nag's Head North, the Gasworks, Larry's Hideaway. Some of these places I've never even seen. But I remember seeing the Gasworks. I don't think I was ever in it, but I remember seeing it. I think it was like Wayne's World kind of emulated one of these places back in the day. And he was around, man. I remember Larry Gowan. He had a few good songs. I liked him too. And stupid 7648 says, "Person." Oh, Jimmy Fun. Oh, I see. So they they benefited a benefactor. That's or they were a benefactor to a person. Well done. All right, everyone. Well, it's been a pleasure. Let's see if I know how to shut the stream off. Oh, there it is, end stream. I see the button up there now. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for watching the show, and I hope people that are actually going to vote are watching the show as well. But if not, hey, I don't mind. It was great to converse with you folks out there and to talk to you about the platform. It never hurts to go over the platform for me because I'm supposed to be promoting it. So this helps me to become better acquainted with my own platform, right? The party's platform. There's 20 points. Every one of them is beneficial to the Canadian people. And I'm looking forward to being the Prime Minister of Canada someday so that I can actually do some good for these people and not cower away when it comes time to take on the bankers. All right. All right, everyone. You guys have the best of times, and good luck to everyone. All the best to all of you. And Citizen Slave 1984 says, "Cheers, O/, and cheers and O/ to all you good people out there. You guys have a great time and a great life, I hope. And I hope I make your lives better in the future. I hope we all make our lives better together, to tell you the truth. We work together to make change. All right, guys, and to our friends in the South, go team, guys. Go America. Try and do something about that guy Trump, guys. Holy smokes, he's going to get you guys killed. That's terrible. All right, unreal. And stupid 7648 gives me applause and right back at you, brother. And thank you very much, all of you. All right. You guys have a great evening. All right. All the best to all of you. See you. All right. Thank you. And thank you, Giuseppe, for helping with the stream. Thanks, brother.